don't know if this allergies bother me or what it is, to be honest. Keep sniffling and coughing some. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 is our text. We looked at last week the subject how love endures. Verse 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And charity is that sacrificial giving love. We looked at it last, and tonight we're looking at the subject of hope. We've been looking at the church, the meaning of the church, the mystery of the church, the mandate of the church, the messages of the church, the members of the church, the mission of the church, and then church missions. And we're currently studying the maturity of the church, or you could call it the measure of the church in faith, hope, and love or charity. And we look last at love because the scripture says the greatest of these is love. So we started with it. And tonight we take up hope. And the goal of all of the Lord's disciples are to be mature and spiritual people in all our dealings. And it takes these gifts that he has given us of faith, hope, and love to do that. Because we live in an uncertain world. In the last few years, it has been made very real to us how uncertain it is. Recession, oil prices, school shootings, the LGBTQ movement that's been pushed on the children in schools, the border crossing by millions of people coming into the United States that the current leadership of our country just refuses to put any kind of a slowdown or stop or vetting on all the people that are coming in. We believe in immigration, but we don't believe in invasion. And it is becoming a serious, serious problem for the future. We ask ourselves, will our economy survive? We get bombarded with being told that climate change is going to affect the culture more and more and more. Anytime there's a storm or a drought or anything of that nature, they accuse it of being what they want to call it in order to make it look like they know what they're talking about for funding and all that. There's so many uncertainties, but as a believer, we have to be reminded that we have the promises of God. We have assurance from the Lord. We have his protection and provision for us. If we walk with God and put him first in our life, then we have his promise for those things. So we have hope. We have hope in the Word. We have hope in the Lord. We have hope in how God deals with us day by day. We should not ever be without hope. In the little book of Philippians 1:20, Paul wrote, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And the Thessalonian church understood God had delivered them from the wrath to come, and they were waiting for the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who would come from heaven and deliver us from this world that we live in. Mature Christians understand that the hope that we have helps us not to be anxious as we go through the trials of life. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, Scripture says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So God doesn't want us to worry about anything. He wants us to be thankful for everything, and he wants us to consistently let our requests be made known unto him with confidence that he's able to help us and meet our needs and bless us, and that God has our good and our best in mind as he deals with us. Even though we may go through some hard times that Peter referred to as the trial of your faith, a trial that is more precious to God than gold tried by fire. Gold is not commonly found on top of the ground. The streams and things where people pan for gold and they find flakes of gold and occasionally a small nugget have come out of mountains and through places. Australia is one of the easiest places in the world to find gold up close to the surface of the ground. But you got to work in sometimes 110 degree temperature all day long to find $100 or $200 worth, you know, get little pieces at a time. And it takes smelting of gold like it does iron ore or anything else to get the the proper metal out of the other impurities. And as they heat it up and turn it into molten, the impurities float to the top, and they can skim that off, which is called dross. Now there's a chemical they add to it as a powder that helps remove that impurities of rock or whatever it may be that's in mixed in with the gold, and then turn the gold into liquid and then pour it out to be used. And we go through similar trials and tests to make us what God would have us to be, usable, and so that he can see his image in us. And so he allows these tests and trials that are sometimes heated to go on in our life. We don't have to be anxious over those things. We simply pray and give thanks to God. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 may want to leave a mark there. We'll come back to Titus tonight. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 said, let me go ahead and read verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who made all things. And we've seen that love is an important virtue, and revealing maturity when we love those that are not lovely, when we love those that did not love us first. God loved us while we were yet sinners and gave Christ to die for us. And we need to show that kind of love to the world around us. And have the characteristics of love and hope and faith be evident in our life as spiritually mature Christians. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 6, Scripture says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it is, it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So that's the normal process as believers, that we demonstrate faith, hope, and love, as Paul wrote to the churches in the New Testament. Like love that we looked at last week, hope is visible. 1 Peter 3:15 says we're to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in us to any person that would ask us. So we're to be ready to give our testimony, be ready to tell people how good God is, be ready to tell people how God has saved us And that's the reason of our hope, that we were lost and now we're saved, and we know the difference, that the change is not because of us, but because of the grace of God. Our hope in the future resurrection is our hope that we will have a new body one day. And the older I get, the more aches and pains I have, I'm looking forward to that more. And long for that day that we'll go to be with the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, if you would. Acts chapter 2 and verse 25. When Peter was preaching, he used David's words in Acts 2 and verse 25 through 27. He said, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now hell is the word Hades. And prior to Christ's resurrection, Hades was a compartment of two places. One was hell fire, the place of judgment, and the other was paradise, where the departed spirits of believers were kept with Abraham in his bosom. And there they were secure and safe, waiting for the day when Christ would be resurrected from the dead. He would first descend into paradise when he died on the cross. He would proclaim his victory, and then he would take the captive souls of paradise back to heaven with him. Paul said now he was caught up into paradise with the Lord. Paradise is now in heaven with the Lord. And now when a believer dies, he doesn't go to paradise in the center of the earth beside hell. He goes to be with the Lord immediately. He said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's a blessing for us. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16 through 20, we see the emphasis of our hope in the future and our resurrection with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Now, Christ arose as the first fruits. Many of you know immediately of the Old Testament feasts. There is the Feast of First Fruits. And they would bring the first of their harvest as it began to ripen. And they would make an offering as a sacrifice unto the Lord. That would please the Lord that they were faithful to bring back to God. But it would also be a guarantee to them that they would have the blessings of the Lord on the remainder of the harvest. Because they would give God his part, God would bless their part. And it's always, you get far more when you give God his part and he blesses what you have left. And the first fruits is Christ who rose from the dead, and then we are the harvest. Christ gave himself as the first fruit to guarantee our resurrection and our hope with the Lord. Now, Paul told the Pharisees it was their own belief in the hope of the resurrection that he was being called in question for. Look at Acts 23 and verse 6. Acts chapter 23 and verse 6. We'll look in chapter 24 and chapter 26. When Paul was going before these Roman kings and governors being accused of doing something worthy of death, Paul had done nothing but preach the gospel. And Acts 23, verse 6, he said, when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. So the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in angels, but the Sadducees were liberals, and they did not believe those things. And so he divided them by saying he was being held as a prisoner for the hope that they believed themselves in the resurrection from the dead. He did this again as he stood before these rulers. Look at chapter 24 and verse 15. He's before Felix. I always thought that was humorous when I first got saved, started reading the Bible and would read about Felix, because all I knew about Felix was Felix the cat. That was a cartoon character when I was a little kid, you know. Chapter 24, verse 15. He's talking about, he said, let's read verse 14. And this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Then if you look at chapter 26, he goes before King Agrippa. In chapter 26 and verse 6 through 8, he tells King Agrippa, now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So he was called in question for preaching that Jesus was risen from the dead and that we too shall rise from the dead. And this is our hope, just as Christ rose from the dead, that we also shall be resurrected. Now, Scripture gives us confidence to testify for the Lord and serve the Lord, knowing the truth of what's going to happen in the future. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14, as Paul speaks about what we call the rapture, the catching away of all the saved, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, referring to death, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we have this confidence that Christ arose and we shall rise. The confident explanation that is given to us. He said in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, meaning go before, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17 is where the expression rapture comes from. Some who disagree with the rapture say it's not in the Bible. Verse 17 explains it. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That expression, caught up in English, is in both the Greek and the Latin the expression of a forcible seizure. And in Latin, it is rapturo, and that's where we get the English word rapture from. It's not talking about a great feeling like a song would give you, like being thrilled, oh, rapture. That's an expression that's been used by man. But the expression of the rapture with Christ means he will descend from heaven with a shout, and there'll be a forcible seizure where the dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so that is our hope. Mature believers rest in this hope, in their confident prayers and consistent living, We are motivated to live for the Lord, knowing that this could happen, and it could happen at any time, that the Lord could come back and we could be ready to go. And we don't want to be found sleeping, so to speak, spiritually, if the Lord comes. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, Romans 5, 1 and 2. 1 John 5, 13 through 15, the gospel goes forth from mature believers, explaining Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we which believe that Christ rose from the dead can pray and have confidence in our prayers, knowing that he hears us because of our faith in him. So we can serve the Lord with confidence and with joy and with hope and with faith. And this helps us in our walk to become mature in the faith, that we live this and demonstrate this to others. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. Not verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. As believers, the Lord strengthens us in our hope and in our work for him, that we might accomplish what he would have us to do. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, just to back up a page or maybe two, he lists that we who are the children of light, that we are not of the darkness. We're the children of light. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So this hope is a part of the armor of God that we put on for the spiritual warfare that we must fight. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our hope's not based on a dead object. We don't worship a tomb where Jesus was buried. He could borrow a tomb because he was only going to need it for 3 days, and then he rose again from the dead. We don't worship statues made out of monument. We worship Christ who lives, not a resemblance of him in a statue, not a creed, but the living Word of God is what we worship, and the living Savior for whom it is written. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, Peter wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Go ahead and read verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So God has saved us by his mercy. He keeps us by his power. We have a promise of a reward if we live for him and serve him that is reserved in heaven for us. And it's an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. Everything you own in this life will rust, bust, and collect dust. But there's a place in heaven where the Lord is preparing a place for you to live. You won't have to be flipping houses when you get to heaven, my friends. That place is going to be made by God, and it won't grow old and wear out and need painting and all that sort of thing. Much of heaven is made from precious jewels and the precious metals that we think so much of here on this earth. Christ is alive. In Revelation 1:18, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." That's our hope, that death has been conquered, that we don't have to fear death anymore, that we are going to heaven to be with the Lord. We're going to receive a new body. And if death takes us before the Lord comes, that our spirit will immediately go to be with the Lord, and we'll be safe and kept until the day of the resurrection and the new body. The motivation is to live close to God. This hope produces godly living, assured by Christ that he is coming for us. He has not left us to deal with the world without his presence and without his hope and without his power. It's been 2,000 years since Christ was crucified and ascended into heaven. That seems like an awful long time. The Jews waited a lot longer than that for Christ to come and be born as a babe in the manger. But he came, and just as he came, and just as he died, and just as he rose again, he's also coming again. The Word of God assures us of that, and we can trust it and believe it. 1 John says in chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." God's not finished with us yet. He's still working on us. The Christian life is still conforming us, transforming us into what he would have us to be, like Christ, not like the world. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So knowing that Christ is coming, knowing that he's going to transform us into a body like his body, it's the motivation for us to live for the Lord and serve God and be ready for his coming. Having this hope, purify ourselves. And Titus gives us that unction of part of what that purification process is in chapter 2 and verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So Christ is purifying us. The hope is seen in stability in our daily life. The stability of confidence when we pray and believe God can answer our prayers, and the stability of our faithful walk with the Lord. Paul praised the Thessalonican church for their faithfulness and for their enduring work of faith and labor of love and their endurance of hope. They were a model to all the other churches in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 and 7. Hope assists us in times of trial and suffering. Romans chapter 5, and beginning with verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience and hope, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we are assisted in our times of trial and suffering by the hope that he has given us. Hebrews 6:19 says, hope and stability are an anchor of the soul, that we pray because Christ has entered in beyond the veil and he has anchored our faith in God's promise. 1 Timothy 6:17, the wealthy of the world are called upon not to put their trust in wealth, but to put their trust in the Lord. He is the one who has the power to help them and to stabilize them. Our hope produces joy, Romans 15:13. And this kind of hope produces confidence that when we pray, we believe God hears our prayers and will answer our prayers and will meet our needs. We've prayed tonight for part of this long list of folks in our prayer list that God would intercede. Some have age-related problems. Some have disease. Some are facing life-threatening circumstance like cancer. And some are going through circumstance of life that we want to be faithful to pray for one another. Brother, you mentioned that young neighbor boy from out at Camp Pendleton, and you know, I was stationed out there for a period of time. Went through raider training from there on ships, you know, going on landing. And then I went through jungle warfare training there right before I went to Vietnam. And Bob was born there in the hospital at Pendleton because his dad was a Marine there when he was born. So when you talk about Camp Pendleton, we immediately began to think back, you know, of our days there. Joy and I weren't married then. We got married after I came back from Vietnam, and we were stationed at Camp Lejeune for a while before I got out of the military. God's good. Faith, hope, and love are forever, and love is the greatest of these. But hope is awful good when you're going through tough times. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here tonight. I ask you to bless them. Encourage them in the faith. Give them that reminder of the hope that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.